Because I pray to God, I know I repented. And because I don't see how a person could go through a day without repentance. Because the only way they could do that if they possess not the Holy Spirit, right? Because some stuff go through our head and information that, you know, it's just like I said, the computer. Boy, you can, people can rule the world with the computer, but you got to know how to turn it on. if you can't find the button, you know, I done been that like that. Yeah, Brother Reed say, well, look, just do this and do this, you're going to be all right. And I get up to the computer and I say, he said, do this and do that, and you're going to be all right. That's all I remember. And you don't write down what buttons to press, right? Well, that's what we're trying to find, what buttons to press. That, yeah, when we look at ourselves in the mirror or when we go through experience in our homes, in our lives, on our jobs, how many times you heard that the world tell you, don't press my button? They might as well pull a gun out on you, huh? Well, that's what crooks do. When they pull a gun out you on the street, they're telling you, don't press my button, right? Give me your wallet. Any conversation other than that, you done did what? You done pressed their button. You take the risk. Well, if we can open our conscious mind spiritually, one thing we talked about at the heart of everything, you remember the verse that we looked at, and I want you to commit it to a memory verse. We got into this whole mess because somebody somewhere decided they wasn't going to do the will of God, and they were what? Cast down to the, who that was? Who? Satan. That's Revelation the 12th chapter, starting in verse 9. See, certain scriptures we just had to commit to our heart and our mind because it presses the button when we come against a situation that, wait a minute, let me not deal with this with emotion. What I need to deal with this with the Word of God. That's why we study God's Word, because it comes up upside us to put us in a safe place that we walk right with God. There's power in the Word of God, and that power deliver us from what went on in Revelation the 12th chapter. And what went on in Revelation 12th chapter? Satan decided, because he was all that in a bag of chips, because they said he was the one that led the worship in heaven to God. And he looking at that and saying, hey, I'm doing all of this and I ain't getting enough glory. Now just think about that. That is the condition of man. Right? Husband and wife. Hey, look, you have to get with the program. You ever felt that way? You have that conversation. Wait a minute. I'm not being appreciated. You don't have to say I'm not being appreciated. We do that by the things that we do or we don't do, right? You ought to know by now to pick up them dirty. You fill in the blanks, sisters, brothers. You know, them socks getting on my nerves. Now, you know what? I ain't going to pick them up. You know, you say, oh, that's my socks. Because you start to see that is causing confusion. And Satan, that's what we read about in the 12th chapter. He was cast down this earth. Remember, God created Adam and Eve on this earth to be servants to him. They had no questions about what was going on until what? They had a conversation with Satan. They had a conversation with Satan, and at the end of it, everything was discombobulated, right? They needed more information, more information, more information. That's why we come, to service, to worship God and get some understanding. Well, we could do that at home. We ought to be doing that at home, because your situation and my situation ain't gonna be the same. Your people and my people and the life that we have to live that makes us happy in this world is pulling against us. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, is from darkness to light. Now, the Bible calls that what? The S word. Who are we? We are the light of the world, but let's use the S word to identify ourselves. We are God's people, therefore we are what? S-A-I-N? We are saints. Them words like that gotta be words that's like a password to a computer. The computer is God in the Bible, right? The word to get into that is what? Who we are. We're citizens. We're not citizens of this world, right? In the world, but not of the world. That sounds like what the movie Matrix, huh? What do you think evil-minded people get all these great ideas to keep you entertained? They know that there is a war between what? Good and evil. And that's what they play on, right? Oh, this is evil, but at the end of this, I know it's going to turn out good. Huh? Lifetimes, that's what lifetimes is about. You say, golly, boy. Hold on, Carolyn, push over. I'm going to see how this goes. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. The will of you, yeah. But we're talking about from darkness to light, and the Bible verse, always remember Revelations 12, starting in 9, that there's a struggle going on. It's in our hearts. And Satan can only use those things that appeals to what? The five senses. Smell, taste, feel, all of those things is what, and that was Paul is in prison writing this letter saying, look, I've been through all of that. And I'm right here now. The worst thing could happen to me is how I'm going to die. Because I may see it coming, right? You don't know how you will die, but you go die. And it's a good thing to see it coming. Huh? Because to see it coming, it puts you in a place to prepare yourself. That's why the Bible says there's a sin that leads unto death. A sin that leads unto death is, I didn't obey the stop sign. I tried to make it across the street and that Mack truck got me. Who you gonna blame on that? Who gonna get sued? But now you got to face what? You got to face the Creator. Were you prepared or were you not? That's why we had to live in the moment. And that's called sanctification. The Bible talks it all through. And how my time doing, Carol? Sometimes that's the last of the conversation we had. Let the man on the thing talk some. And that's all right, because that's why we set it up this way. But sometimes the word moves us in a certain direction. If we look at, let's look at John, the 17th chapter, and we start in verse 6. I have magnified your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me. And they have kept your word. Now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. Isn't that what Adam and Eve knew in the beginning? Everything they had came from God. There was no question about it. But now, Satan says, everything you have, where did it come from? And we get stuck on the stuff that we have. You know, we live to please ourselves. The car we drive, the house we live in, the job that we work. Matter of fact, we might go to bed when we want. That pleases ourselves, but we're going to get up and go to talk. We might go to a job that we just hate. But it's to do what? To get the things that we want, to please ourselves. All I'm trying to see in what the Bible is, open us up to the process. Where do Paul say, look, when you read Corinthians, the second chapter 10, where Paul is given a justification for his faith to brothers and sisters that he's trying to warn about Satan. And you know what they're telling him? You ain't even a real apostle. You wasn't a real, because Paul was one that was born, what, out of time. You remember? Jesus had died and was resurrected when Jesus called Paul. He was on the way to Damascus to what? To send the church to prison, as far as the Jews go, because they were heretics. They were saying, you can bring them Negroes into the church. What you mean? In other words, everybody is a Negro if you're not a Jew. You can call, put every name behind it. Matter of fact, they called them dogs, the Jews. That's how high-minded they was. If you wasn't a Jew, I can treat you like you want, because you either a child of God or a child of the devil. And Jesus pulled those Jews out of the world and reprogram their whole minds as to what God is and who he is. And he's saying here, you gave them to me. Because he saw the church at Franklin in 2023. He saw you sitting here right here. He saw that. He saw that the power of God's word was going to create a people that was going to gather together on Sunday morning to want to know, how do I hold on, Brother Cook? How do I hold on? And you know, at different stages of our lives, that ought to become more and more important. We need to so live that God could use us. And then we don't have to worry about moving on. But what he says, I've been glorified in them. I'm no longer in the world. And yet they themselves are in the world. Talking about you. And I come to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, Church of Christ. The name which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are one. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished out but the son of prediction, so that the scriptures would be filled. Drop down to verse 15. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from who? The evil one. Revelation 12, starting in verse 9, right? The evil one is in this world. The evil one can be in your mind. If the evil one is in your mind, he's in your house. If the evil one is in your mind, he's in your job. If the evil one is in your mind, he in it. Whatever you're trying to do, however you're trying to feel good about what you're doing, if the evil one is in it, it gonna turn out that way. You can call it what you want. You can be blessed and highly favored. Come on now. Don't sprinkle that dust on me. What that mean? Well, you got to look at a man in the mirror. And I ain't talking about that mirror. This is the mirror. That's why we look into the word every day to see ourselves so we can fix that lipstick. Get the boogers out your nose. You know what I'm saying? That's the word of God, and they call it sanctification. And we go, I don't want to run into the time. We go pick up from there, but the brother says it well.
Some things, like sleeping, but it's also great for evil deeds, which is why Christians ought to be children of light and not of darkness. Clay McFerrin is an admissions counselor at Heritage Christian University, and in this lesson he takes us through what Paul says about fleeing darkness at the beginning of Ephesians chapter 5.
In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 through 20, Paul counsels his readers to reject the works of darkness and walk as children of light. Let's take a moment to read this passage. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Consider some of the highlights from the book of Ephesians. God has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Chapter 2 and verse 5, He has made us alive together with Christ. Chapter 3, verse 19, He has allowed us to be filled with all the fullness of God. So, it's only fitting that we walk in a manner worthy of our calling. Chapter 4 and verse 1. We know that the Bible is not simply a rule book or a list of do's and don'ts, but in this passage, Paul will tell us how, as followers of Christ, we can leave behind the sinful ways of the past and instead walk as children of light. So consider the sins listed in the beginning of our passage: sexual immorality, impurity, covetousness, also known as idolatry, filthiness, foolish talk, crude joking. Where do you encounter these? Maybe in your workplace, maybe at school, in your family, among your friends, maybe on a sports team, certainly in your secular entertainment, TV, movies, books, music, video games. The world wants us to tolerate, accept, and embrace ungodly lifestyles. The world often says, you do you, as long as it doesn't affect me. As long as you don't offend somebody, nobody cares what you do, what you say, or what you think. But God cares. God cares about both our interior and our exterior. He cares about our motivations and our actions. The two great commandments are to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So if you're physically or sexually or verbally abusing, harming another person, that affects both your relationship with them and also your relationship with God. Even if all you do is think mean thoughts towards somebody, the other person may be unaware, but God will know and God will hold you accountable. And God even holds you accountable, holds you responsible for what you value, what you set your focus on. Because God wants you to be like Him, which means, among other things, that you will value every other person and want what is ultimately best for them, and also that you will value Him, value God, above all else. So the way we interact with others and the things that we think in our hearts are both of concern to God. Turn to Matthew chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. We'll read Matthew 5, 18 through 20. What comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. So we notice the overlap here between Matthew 5 and Ephesians 5. The things that we think in our heart, like covetousness and idolatry, are what come out of our hearts, out of our mouths even, hatefulness toward others, and then the ways that we interact with others. God wants us to leave behind the sinful ways of the world that are harmful to our relationship with others and our relationship with Him, and He wants us instead to live as we're instructed in passages like Ephesians chapter 5. What we're trying to say is this: there should be a stark contrast between the lives of those who follow God and the lives of those who do not have strong moral convictions. Now, we're not saying that every non-Christian is just a terrible person, but we're saying that God's standards are higher than ours, better than ours, and so we should see a distinction between this and that. Now, I should also see a difference, not only between my life and the life of somebody who does not profess a belief in God, but also between the way I live now and the way I lived before I became a Christian. Of course, many of us who are Christians today grew up in and around the church. It's natural and normal to attend worship services and try to follow the Bible's teachings. Maybe that's the way, hopefully that's the way, you were raised. So maybe the distinction for you won't be quite as strong as it would if you were coming out of pagan idolatry in ancient Ephesus, but there should be a distinction. If there's no difference between our pre-conversion and post-conversion lives, then something is very wrong in our post-conversion life. One of the most common themes in Scripture is the believer's conversion from darkness to light. Turn to Colossians chapter 1, and we'll read verses 13 and 14. Colossians 1, 13 and 14. He, God, has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So God has delivered us out of the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his Son. And once we are delivered from that darkness, we want to stay away from it. Turn to 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. There's no darkness in God. No darkness at all in God or in his kingdom. We want to be out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And we want our lives to produce all that is good and right and true, Ephesians 5 and verse 9. Similar to what Paul told the Ephesians in chapter 4 and verse 8. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. We're given instructions not only for how we outwardly behave, but also how we inwardly think, what we dwell on, what we set our focus on day in and day out. Now, to emphasize this again, look at the contrast in John chapter 3, verses 18 through 21. Here, Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, and he says, "Whoever believes in him, the Son of God, is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil." Now watch this contrast. "For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." So we see again this correlation, this overlap from John 3 and Ephesians chapter 5, especially looking in verses 11 through 13. "Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness." Those who work evil want to do it in the dark so that no one can see what they're doing. Those who work in the light, those who do righteous deeds, are not concerned, not ashamed, not afraid to do what we're doing in the light so that it can be seen. Now, of course, our motivation for walking in the light is not self-promotion or the praise of men, but the glorification of God. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told his disciples, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them." That's Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1. "But we should," Matthew 5 verse 16, "let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." So as always, the motivation is very important here. We're walking as children of light, walking in the light, not so that people will look at me and say, "Oh, Clay, look at all the great things he's doing. He must think he's really something." But I want to walk in the light so that people will see what I'm doing and transfer their attention from me to God so that they will give glory to the Father. Matthew 5, verse 16. The more that we walk as children of light, Ephesians 5, 8, the more we will have a positive impact in the world by leading others to see and know God. And again, we aren't saying that any non-Christian is just completely morally debased, but we know, we have seen, that in every area of our lives that we don't commit to following God and his principles, we know that we're going to drift further and further away from them. In contrast, the Christian wants to drift further from the darkness of sin and toward the light of God. Now, Paul concludes this section, Ephesians 5, we'll look now at verses 15 through 20, with a series of distinct but related admonitions and instructions. Look in verse 15. "Look carefully how you walk." Not just literally watch your step, watch that first step, it's a doozy. But Paul means that we should be careful and we should be thoughtful in our daily lives. Look carefully how you walk. And why is that? It's because we have a responsibility to take advantage of our limited opportunities to carry out God's will on this earth. And how do we make the best use of our time? Verse 17, by understanding the will of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 tells us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So if we understand the Lord's will, we are one step closer to being wise, and that is going to help us make the best use of the time. Ephesians 5 and verse 16. Now here again in verse 18, we're going to see the contrast between a life of sinful overindulgence, somebody who's being full, drunk with wine, versus somebody who is filled with the Spirit. We have this old, dark, sinful past, perhaps, but now, as we are children of light, we want to be filled with the Spirit. And particularly, Paul says in verse 19, we're filled with the Spirit in our songs. As we address one another, as we encourage and exhort each other and praise God, the Holy Spirit who dwells in us continually is living in our hearts as we go through our worship and song. Now finally, in verse 20, the final verse of our section, we're going to see another encouragement to always give thanks. As we saw in verse 4, let there always be thanksgiving. Verse 20, let there be thanksgiving always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now what does Paul mean that we should give thanks always and for everything? Literally everything? I'm thankful for the premature death of my beloved child or parent or grandparent? No. But we can always be thankful for God's love and God's thankfulness, even and especially in circumstances that would seem hopeless to somebody who does not have any faith in God. And at the same time, we ought to make a habit of continually being thankful for the things that God has blessed us with. And hopefully, the more that we take time to consider every good gift and every perfect gift which comes down from the Father, James chapter 1, verse 17, the more thankful we will be. So we each have our own background. Some of us grew up with no connection to the Lord's church, while others have been believers from an early age. Perhaps some of you, were in and out of the church, maybe in and out of other faith groups at different points in your life. But whatever our unique history, every Christian has at least these three things in common. Number one, sometime in the past, we realized that we were not in a right relationship with God. Ephesians 5:8, at one time, you were darkness. Number two, we decided then to obey God and receive his forgiveness. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11, you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Number one, we were in darkness. Number two, we decided to do something about it. And so number three, as Christians, we are now committed to serving God. Ephesians 5:8, now you are light in the Lord. Each day of our lives, we have a new opportunity to leave our sinful, dark past even further behind and walk as children of light in the kingdom of God. So let's seek out ways to share the light and the love of God with others, especially with those who may be caught up in some of the same unfruitful works of darkness that perhaps used to dominate our own lives in the past. And let us always be thankful to God for giving us every spiritual blessing. And let us make the best use of whatever time is given to us. God bless you.
Sweet rises, we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait.